ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. This song I first came to my attention must have been early 1990s when in the BBT in Juhu, where I used to spend a lot of time doing things like making that book, the Hare Krishna Challenge, there was one Mahamantra Das Brahmachari there who was repeatedly singing this song with much enthusiasm. He learned thousands of shlokas and hundreds of songs. Later he took sannyas and is with the name Bhakti Vishramba Madhav Maharaj. So I just remembered while singing this, and Madhav Maharaj came, and then I remember that I first got inspired by this song, by his own inspiration for it. Hare Krishna. Last year, in the Vyasa Puja festival, I said some very strong things, maybe strong even for me, talking about difficulties of various disciples whose attitude is not very laudable. So I would request you, don't be bad disciples, be good disciples. I got some insight. I always thought, why Srila Prabhupada, he said that when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw the number of his neophyte disciples increasing, he decided to leave this world. I thought he has so much to give, so much to offer, but he left. But I can understand in my own small way how troublesome that can be. So I request you to stick on the path, straight and steady. We all have our various impurities in our heart, which is why we're in this world. But we should, having come to the path of devotional service, and particularly having taken the vow of initiation, one should be fully dedicated to Krishna, Krishna consciousness, becoming purified. Dikha kale bhakta kare atta samarpan. The time of initiation, one fully offers one's own very self. So always remember that we are, having taken initiation, we represent our guru. We don't want to cause him pain and embarrassment. Having said that, last year I spoke in some detail about this. I must say also that I have many worthy disciples. Yesterday evening, with the reading from the Vyasa Puja book, you could understand that some quality of realization is there. Devotees are studying Srila Prabhupada's books, trying to understand them very seriously, having various realizations. The offerings were not what we might call stereotyped offerings. By stereotyped, I mean, of course, every offering we expect that to be sincere, but generally the same, or in many Vyasa Puja offerings, the same kind of thing is said, the same verses are quoted. There's nothing wrong with that. But we saw that various devotees had applying their intelligence and minds in Krishna consciousness were being reciprocated with by Krishna. They were able to speak in various ways. Several of the offerings were unique. It doesn't mean you have to try and do something different every time. It's not necessary to try to do something new. If we simply repeat what we've heard, that is perfect. If we hear from the proper source. Also, those who do misbehave help to see in better perspective those who are really striving, really sincere, working hard in Srila Prabhupada's mission. If we live among saints, we may not even recognize their saints because we just accept it as normal. So it does not that someone, again, it's not that someone has to try to be bad to put into better perspective those who are sincerely trying. But we do see that devotees, if they apply themselves to this process of Krishna consciousness, they do become purified, they do become saintly, they can become empowered by Krishna to perform extraordinary activities in his service, and we're seeing that in various ways among several of the devotees here. So I thank you all for your kind offerings to me, apart from the verbal offerings, which are made once a year. There's the offering of our life, day after day, minute after minute, moment after moment. That is the real offering. And I simply aspire that I can be as dedicated in Srila Prabhupada's service as some of you are in my service. I find it embarrassing that some of you are so dedicatedly serving me and I can't serve Srila Prabhupada in such a good way. But then you can know that service that is properly offered to Srila Prabhupada, up through the parampara to Krishna, via myself. So I should be a transparent medium and not choke up your sincere offerings by accepting them for my own sake. So, Diksha Kale Bhakta Kare Atta Samarpan. At the time of initiation, one fully offers oneself in the service of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava. For those who are living as brahmacharis, sannyasis, in the ashram, or they've accepted this life, for them there should be no question of anything than complete dedication. There's no meaning to live in an ashram simply for the sake of living there. One lives in an ashram for the sake of serving. The arrangement is made for living to facilitate service, not that the arrangement is made just for living. Then one becomes like a karmi non-devotee, or like a bird in a nest, or a snake in a hole. If we have no purpose for living in a place other than to eat, sleep, mate and defend. Well, brahmacharis are not meant to mate, and they're not meant to fight either. But even if they just sleep and eat, that is not brahmachari life. And those who only eat and sleep, they are not brahmacharis. They must become vyabhichari. They must fall down. So for renunciants, there is no question of anything but full dedication. How is it possible for grihasthas, family people, who have so many social distractions, apart from the men at least having to work long hours for the sake of procuring money, even in the spare time when one is not sleeping or engaged in other activities of bodily maintenance, one has to see to the family affairs, there are social obligations. So generally it's considered that grihasthas, Srila Prabhupada wrote that they have a license for sense gratification. It's almost expected that they will be insipid. That means going, in this context, going along at a pretty dull rate, not able to fully give their time and energy in Krishna's service. Nevertheless, we see among us present today, there are many married devotees who, notwithstanding their family responsibilities, are clearly fully dedicated to Krishna. That is their life. The family responsibility, they're not neglecting that, but their life is how to serve Krishna. And what a good life it is, as Radhesh Prabhu, in every year in his Vyasa Puja offering, reminds myself and himself of the contrast between his former way of living and his present way of living. His former way of living, he was, Yudhishthira Maharaj uses this term in relationship to himself, Griha Murhadi. He is living at home and simply bewildered in his intelligence. Very dull and useless life. But now he's, and not only him, so many others are inspired in Krishna consciousness. Their family activities are fully in relationship to Krishna, and they're also becoming empowered by Krishna to spread his message. Several of our devotees in Grihastha Ashram, they distribute so many of Srila Prabhupada's books, they may be outdoing the devotees in the ashram. How many in Radhesh, your team in Surat, how many books did you distribute during December? Hmm? 21,000. Was that subsidized? Subsidy was there. That helps. And I don't want to minimize the efforts of the devotees in Salem, but together they did just a little less than that. Of course, a lot of the devotees distributing books in Salem, they're also grihasthas. It was half, they were practically full-time. Mostly the Matajis, they're out in the women's colleges. Anyway, it's not exactly a competition. Srila Prabhupada made transcendental competition. So, next time you shouldn't be outdone. You should be on the phone every day. How many books did you do? And then you have to go ahead of... Srila Prabhupada stoked such a competition and it really got the book distribution going, because most of his disciples were American and in this very competitive mood. That's very much there in India today also. Competitive mood, which is not traditionally part of Indian culture, but you have to be to even get a job. So many times the government jobs, there'll be 20 jobs and 20,000 applicants, something like that. So, Grihastha Shakti. They're doing very well. So that book distribution is a very good opportunity for devotees in Grihastha Ashram to directly and very significantly engage in Srila Prabhupada's service and spread this movement. There are also opportunities, farm communities. This Srila Prabhupada, he stressed this, that Grihastha devotees can live on farms, live simply, chant Hare Krishna, without having to sweat to earn. So, Bifale Shavinu Kripana Dura Jana Chapala Shuka Laba Lagi. Govinda Das wrote this some few hundred years ago, and it's even much more applicable at the present time, that people are, it's almost everyone, their life, this is the description, that they're working uselessly for some useless person who gives them as little money as possible and squeezes the maximum out of them. And what for? Just for a little sense gratification. So of course devotees, they're not interested in sense gratification, but they get caught up in this life of working hard. So the farm community, Srila Prabhupada wanted devotees can come and live peacefully together, chant Hare Krishna together. And several Grihastha devotees have present here have done that, giving up their good jobs. Good job means instead of being beaten with an iron bar, you're beaten with a golden bar. That's all. It's more prestigious. So several devotees have done that. Natak Gauranga Prabhu is heading up a community in Gujarat. Several other devotees have joined him, the Nityananda Krishna, who I didn't see here, he's probably there at the farm. Shibanganand Prabhu recently joined. And many of the Grihasthas who are doing business and this and that, they're helping with that. Sundar Gauranga also, he left previously, left his job in Goa and was just doing some small shop, and now he's there at the farm also. Farm and Gurukul, this Srila Prabhupada emphasized, so important, these Gurukuls for training the children so that they don't have to grow up with all wrong ideas. Maybe half or more of our effort in trying to be Krishna conscious is just trying to keep out all the nonsense ideas that we have acquired through having a good education and having a normal upbringing. Normal upbringing means that normal upbringing in the modern age means we become full of kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, ityadi, full of lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, pride, and so on. That's a normal upbringing. If we have a normal upbringing in the modern world, then we become a fit candidate for going to hell. And in fact, modern life is increasingly hellish. I just saw some description. Maybe I'm sure you're all aware, there's this beheadings are going on in what used to be Iraq. But something I saw in the news was even, I'm actually shocked, and I keep on thinking about it day after day. It's something so horrible. It's worse than beheading, that women, these terrorists or whatever you want to call them, they go into different villages, they kill all the men, and they take the women, and then you can imagine what they do, and then they sell them into prostitution. What could be more horrible? I mean, the American troops are going there. They should, if they really want to do anything, they should just go in there and finish them all off. If they actually want to stop It's just unbelievably horrible. Yesterday I was given some, now I'm getting off topic. As usual, I get off topic, but these are important topics. That Dr. Sahadev Das, maybe you know, he's writing so many books, and on topics that are Krishna conscious books, on topics that are absolutely relevant to the modern age. He wrote a book on oil depletion, peak oil, and all this, which in India, I think hardly anyone knew about it. And on every page, he gave a quote from Prabhupada, along with his own writing. It's quite a thick book. And he gave a copy to the then chief minister of Andhra Pradesh, whose name I can't remember, who died in a helicopter crash. He was a Christian. Reddy. Rajshekhar Reddy. And he was so impressed by this that he made Sahadev Das into Dr. Sahadev Das. He arranged for him to have an honorary PhD. And he carried that book with him. And he was so impressed by it, he said, oh, this Bhaktivedanta Swami, he must be a top lion oil engineer. So anyway, what I'm coming to the point, I just got some of his books yesterday. One of his books, I just saw the cover and I can't exactly remember the title, but it was that if we want to stop terrorism, we have to close the slaughterhouses. No one thinks of that. They think, send in the troops. Check everyone at the airport. It won't stop. As long as there are slaughterhouses of animals, there will be slaughterhouses of humans also. Another of his books, which I was given yesterday, gave the title that what the Muslims couldn't do in 800 years and the British couldn't do in 200 years, an Italian woman has done in 10 years. She's made India mass beef exporter. Which, as I often say in various lectures, that if in India even once a year one cow was killed, that would be a great disgrace for this country. But literally thousands are killed every day. So we have a lot of work to do. People don't know. They think it's good for the economy. So we really have a lot of work to do. That's why this Bhagavad Darshan is also very important, because devotees are supposed to write articles for mass distribution, taking the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and applying them as Srila Prabhupada did as he made Bhagavad Darshan in 1944. Various topical issues. People, they don't know the solution. What are you going to do about terrorism? Kill all the terrorists. Well, the more you kill, the more they come up. It's like the hydra-headed monster. You cut off, every head you cut off, 10 more come. That's from Greek mythology. Ultimately, there has to be a revolution of consciousness. People have to become purified in consciousness. And people have to understand the issues. They don't understand the issues. They've studied this. So many scientific laws, but they don't know the law of karma, that if we kill, we shall also have to be killed. In the army, I'm just looking here at Raman from the army, and yesterday Anupam Vallabh told us some narration from his army days. Is he here now? Also, Sachinanda from Russia. He just came out of the army. So I wonder, in the Indian army, Are they aware of this? Their business, their whole business, they're trained, they have a huge, more than 1 million staff. The whole point is to kill people. I mean, ultimately, that's what the army is meant for. When required. But do they have knowledge of the laws of karma? Maybe they have some vague idea, but this knowledge should be given. Knowledge. It's not, as people say to us, do you believe in reincarnation? It's actually a foolish question. Inasmuch as it's not a question of belief. Do you believe in the laws of physics? It's not a question of belief. Either it's a fact or it's not a fact. So we should understand. It's a fact. There's plenty of evidence for all that. So this knowledge should be given. We have to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. We have to... this Bhagavad Darshan should not be any less strident than when Srila Prabhupada made it in 1944 during the Second World War. Should speak with a loud, clear voice. Utare, utare, bhai. Artho shamai nai. Get up, brothers. There's no more time. Don't waste our time simply in petty affairs. We say the whole world is going to hell. Practically, it's like hell. And we don't know where it will come next. Just like in Syria, people presume... A few years ago, people were going about their life pretty much in the same way as they do here in Kanchipuram. They'd get up in the morning, go to work, kids would go to school. Now it's complete hell. So that can happen anywhere, anytime. We have to distribute these books and give this knowledge of Krishna consciousness so that at least individually people can be saved, but the whole society needs to be reformed. So these vanashram, farms, at the moment we have just a few devotees doing that. But Srila Prabhupada said that millions will join our farms. They'll need to, because where will the food be? When the oil runs out, or the water runs out, or the electricity stops flowing, the monetary system, economic system collapses, what will you do? Yasyanti girikananam. That's stated in Bhagavatam. In Kali Yuga, people, they will go to the hills and forests. Now in Russia, the Russian devotees have come. Economic situation has become very bad due to sanctions. But those who are living on the farm there, Dobri Mush, like Ananda Swarup, you're growing at least a lot of your food, I hope. Even though there's only about 6 months growing season, because the rest of the year it's all covered with ice and snow. So here in India, it's actually very easy to grow food. In Russia, you have 6 months to grow your food and to collect the firewood to keep you warm for the rest of the time. So you have to work hard 6 months. But here in this part of the world, if you you eat some raw tomatoes, and then the next day you pass it out in the field, and after a short time, you'll find there's a tomato plant. Everything just grows by itself. The seeds come out. Everything just grows. Practically, you don't have to put in a lot of work. So here, there should be farming. You see here, there's India, one of the parts of the culture, flower culture. There are flowers everywhere. Flowers, here in South India, the women put flowers in their hair. It's another part of the culture which is gradually dying away. Flowers for every celebration. Why is that? Because traditionally, people, they lived in a way, they didn't have so much industrial aspirations or necessities, and the land produced so much food, and plenty of flowers can grow also. Everyone will be fed, and there'll be flowers also. So at least here we should have these Varnashram communities. So getting back to the point a little bit, thank you all for the Grihasthas who are doing that, who have the courage, the faith that Bhumi Devi, our mother, the earth, who is the wife of Krishna, she will nourish us if we treat her well and chant Hare Krishna, she'll be very pleased. Depending on the land and cows and Krishna, we can live very simply. We don't need to live in these hellish cities. We can be very happy living on the farm. So I can encourage all of you to do so. Those of you who are Grihasthas living in the cities, you should also donate funds. We don't push anyone to do so. We don't force anyone, but as we read in Srila Prabhupada's books, and that is of course in Shastra, that Grihastha's duty is to give in charity, that would especially be in Varnashram society. Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Brahmanas also, they're supposed to give in charity. That means they accept charity, and what extra they don't need, they give it away. And then the modern age Shudras are also earning. Practically everyone's a Shudra. Earning money in a company means, that's called in Bhagavatam, Shvavriti, the means of livelihood of a dog. That means you have to work for a master. So everyone should give. Srila Prabhupada often wrote about 50%. We don't expect, actually, devotees to give 50% because mostly devotees are struggling to make ends meet. But you could give at least 5%. Some sacrifice should be there. Give funds to help push on this Krishna consciousness movement. Those of you in family life whose immediate responsibilities are finished, that means your children are grown up and married. Of course, nowadays they marry very late, but at least if they're working and able to look after themselves, then there's no real need for you to go on working. You can retire from working and take up serving Krishna full time. You don't have to wait till the age of 65 or so to retire. Well, there's still, that's the general age of retirement, that when the body is completely worn out and they can't squeeze you anymore, then they allow you to retire. But you can retire earlier while there's still some strength and energy left in the body, and give that strength and energy full-time in Krishna's service. And there are quite a few devotees present here again, who have done that. Radhesh Prabhu said yesterday he's going for Vanaprastha. I'm not sure exactly what that means because, well, he has a son who's still going to college or school or whatever, but otherwise he's practically full-time anyway. Others, there are so many actually. Radha, Radhya Prabhu's and his wife, Vishnu Swami Prabhu, he asked me what he could do. I gave several suggestions. One of them was Padyatra, and he did it. He just got some bulls and got a cart, and he's been wandering around Telangana village to village, day in, day out, come rain, come shine, come cold. So this is laudable. That to have that inspiration, not to be attached to earning money, living comfortably in some apartment. What is the use of such a life? Of course, you can chant Hare Krishna at home, but if we're actually reading Prabhupada's books and becoming, we have to become inspired by them. What can we do? What should we do to push on this movement in various ways? Narayan Srini, there are so many. Young men, Gaur Bhagavan, thought that, well, I'm still young and I don't really want to work. Even though he had a good job, well-paying job, now he has no income. Krishna's looking after him. Young man with young children. But he's, of course, not everyone may be in that position because he was able to save some money. So we're not condemning anyone who's not able to do that, but see if you can. See what you can do. As soon as possible, get out of the life, the stressful life of working hard simply to earn money and give your life to Krishna. You might find, having done so, that you're working harder. You may think, well, I'll leave this job and then I can relax. But we won't let you. No relaxation. But it's blissful. Just as working for non-devotees saps one's very life energy, working for Krishna gives more and more energy. So please come forward and do that. There are so many. I noted some names. Hare Krishna Prabhu is doing that. Sridhar Srinivas, they're both selling books and maintaining their family situation. Vrindavan Nath is more or less just his business is going on. Someone's looking after it. Radha Kant Prabhu, I suggested he could go to Malawi, which is one of the poorest countries in the world. And from what I understand from descriptions there, it's a what we could call culturally backward kind of place. But he's gone, he's dedicated. We don't expect him to spend his whole life there. He also has young children. But he took that risk for Krishna. Undoubtedly, Krishna will be very pleased with devotees who make the sacrifice to serve Krishna in the best possible way. Now we have this very high, elevated process of Krishna consciousness. Krishna is supreme, and service to him is the supreme occupation in human society. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaja ahaitukya pratiyata yayatma supersedati. You should all learn this verse. If you learn verses, not everyone has the mental capacity or proclivity to learn verses. If you haven't learned this verse, you should learn this. That the highest occupation for all human beings is unmotivated and uninterrupted service to the transcendent Lord, loving devotional service. Only such service can fully satisfy the self. So we have very great opportunity. We're very fortunate to have this very elevated process of Krishna consciousness. We should take to it wholeheartedly in whatever situation we may be. It's not possible for everyone just to cut out of the materialistic society, although it may be more possible than you think it is. It may seem impossible, but it can be possible for you also. One lady was introduced to me yesterday. She's in a joint family. She's the only one interested in bhakti. So in such a situation, she's not able to cut out of that. She has to practice Krishna consciousness in the best way she can in that difficult situation. But whatever situation we are in, we should take to Krishna consciousness wholeheartedly. Don't be a half devotee. That means just like if you cook rice and you only half cook it, it's not very palatable or digestible. So we should be fully, we shouldn't be kaccha, we should be pakka. Everything fully in Krishna's service. That is the meaning of anyabhilashita shunyam. Bhakti that is free from even from the cultivation of extraneous desires. Tivra bhakti, intense bhakti. Focused. Focused, in fully focused in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, so I'm told, I heard this many years ago. It's not written down exactly. Not written down, but Srila Prabhupada said to a group of his disciples, there was a leaders meeting, temple leaders meeting in Berkeley, California, in which Srila Prabhupada said to all of them that now your life is glorious and you should now try to make others glorious. So our life is dhanya. Our life is glorious, elevated. We should try to bring others to this life also. Etavaj janma sa falyang dehinam iha dehishu prana artar dhyavacha shreya acharanam sada. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam is quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in the context of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordering all his followers and especially all persons born in India to preach Krishna consciousness. The translation is roughly as follows, that having attained this human birth, we should, fortunate birth, we should make it successful by dedicating our life energy, our money, our intelligence, and our words in such a way as to always act for the benefit of others, for the ultimate benefit of others. Also quoted there is, similar quote. Prani nam upakaraya yadeveha paratracha karmana manasavacha tadeva matiman bhajet. Doing benefit for others, real welfare work, by mind, body, and words. This is the way we should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we should, this should be our life. By the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we're all uplifted in the practice of Krishna consciousness. Now we should see what we can do to help others. Dedication is required. This is the real meaning of being a disciple. There's no meaning to being a disciple unless one dedicates himself in the service of the Guru. Service of Guru and Krishna. Again, from Bhagavatam. This is a verse I quoted, I think, almost every year in this Vyasa Puja ceremony. This is a verse spoken by Krishna's guru, Sandipani Muni, to Krishna, who Krishna, apart from being the best lover, the best master, the best archer, the best yogi, Yogeshwara. He's also the best disciple. He's best in everything. So, stated to him, Etadeva hisatshishai kartavyam guru nishkritam yadvai vishuddha bhavena sarvartatmarpanam guru. This is certainly the duty of a genuine disciple to offer his life fully, everything, in the service of the Guru, everything he has, with purified consciousness. Okay. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.